What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck. Jillian's sick this week, so again, I got the bum from the local soup kitchen to fill in Charlie McMullen.
I can ladle like no other.
This week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It is not a funny one like we normally have. This one's actually a little infuriating. Charlie, I sent you a link to an article from thetelegraph.co.uk about six Italian scientists and a government official that are going to prison for 6 years for failing to predict an earthquake. What?
Now, I would like everyone to bear in mind that this is Italian prison. Okay, shit goes down there like you wouldn't believe. Not all the regulations that we have here in America have made it over to Italy just yet.
Crime that they are accused of is, in 2009, a huge earthquake hit. They looked at all the data beforehand and said, we don't think there's going to be an earthquake. Basically, their crime was not being that great at their job. Firing them? Totally fair. You know, maybe even blackballing from the industry because they don't know their job. Fair. Prison? Not fair.
Not fair at all. If I got sent to prison every time I wasn't great at my job, I would still be there right now. But I would be even worse at my job if I was threatened with prison.
I would think that would make you better, but okay.
No, you can't put that kind of pressure, especially on seismologists.
Well, and as you were telling me before we started recording, seismology is not exactly an exact science, is it?
It's not. I mean, this is akin to blaming the weatherman when it rains. That's bullshit.
Yeah, well, what would happen in America if all of a sudden a tornado just shows up in the middle of town, wipes everybody out? You're going to take all the local weathermen from the four stations and throw them all in jail because none of them saw it coming?
I definitely wouldn't recommend that. They're a fragile lot, meteorologists are.
You know, I've never understood that. You'd think meteorology would study meteors, but what do I know, apparently?
Well, I'm sure that's where it starts, but, you know, you can only talk about meteors for so long before you get bored and say, well, hey, let's talk about the weather.
So are you saying that the weather is a meteor subject than meteors?
Yes, I am saying that in exactly that way, in tone.
Yes, because I am king of the bad puns, apparently. So
you saw that, huh?
Yeah, I saw that. I actually thought you were,
cool.
But oh well. All right, for our first real subject, Charlie, I know you like porn. Did you have a chance to watch the video that was on the link I sent you, the PSA?
I did not watch the video. I read the article, but for whatever reason, the video would not play, perhaps for my own good.
It's actually a relatively safe for work. There's no nudity or anything in it. What it is, porn star Jessica Drake and James Dean, D-E-E-N, for those that are curious, want to raise awareness of a ridiculous, just ridiculous measure that's going through Los Angeles right now that's called for election next month. It is called Measure B. The entire porn industry will be regulated with condoms. No non-condom sex will be able to be legally shot in Los Angeles. And they will have to have a health inspector at the expense of the production on set at all times to make sure condoms are being used. I think this is government intrusion on a ridiculous level. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I think that porn and filmmaking in general has nothing to do with the government. It's a service performed by some people for many others. It doesn't require government involvement. It's done fine without it so far. And I think if a lot of, because I read that Huffington Post article that you sent me, and a lot of, the reason it's on the ballot to begin with is because of public outcry that it's unsafe for porn stars that appear in films that do not have condoms. I think that's a buy-the-ticket, take-the-ride kind of situation. I mean, if there's going to be risk if you're going to start having sex with people on camera for a living.
But there's also the fact that the adult industry is one of the most tested for STDs out there. They test for STDs every 14 to 28 days on a legitimate adult set. And there has not been a case HIV reported in the adult industry since 2004. So where are these getting this? Oh, it's to stop the... They actually say, one of the people against it, we want to curtail AIDS. Clearly, it already has. There hasn't been a case in 8 years.
That's true.
Let's look at it like this. How are you actually going to regulate this? What qualifies as an adult performer? Let's say Rob Zombie is touring, and he decides to have sex in Los Angeles with his wife, decides to tape it. Then later, and he goes bareback, and then later he decides to release it on video or release it to YouTube. Is he now an adult performer that just broke the law?
That's a good question. I mean, what is a performer anyway? I mean, because you look at, like, Christopher Walken is an actor. Nicolas Cage is a performer. Like, where does that distinction go?
Well,
and also, if Rob Zombie did put a sex tape on the internet, it's weird that that's what he would be fined for.
But you see my point on how ridiculous and how just razor thin the guidelines are to you can go either way, no pun intended.
Well, Josh, maybe I'm an optimist and an idealist. Maybe I'm a romantic at heart, but I'm seeing the silver lining of this, because if this goes forward, Los Angeles as a whole, no pun intended, votes yes on B, then A, condoms are going to get awesome. I think that's going to be a golden age of condoms. I think the engineering is going to go to a completely unforetold level of intricacy. Picture it from the health inspector's point of view. Okay, he has one of the most boring jobs in the world. He has to go to restaurants and burrito stands all day, make sure there's X amount of rat feces. Not too much, but enough. Finally, he gets the call. He has to monitor the activity on an adult film set. That makes health inspector one of the best jobs there could be.
To take a ridiculous example, even more ridiculous than my Rob Zombie one, what about lesbian porn? If it's all girl, are they going to have to start wearing condoms on the dildos and on the vibrators? Because you don't want to spread a disease through those, right?
I think in a case like that, there's going to be required to be a scene of the dildos being taken out of a dishwasher.
What about the entire bareback scene? That's an entire subgenre.
I'm already writing a lesbian porn movie in my head called Dental Dammit.
You know, there are also things that are happening behind the scenes, such as, do you know who is sponsoring Measure B?
I do not.
Condom companies. Funny
go
how...
Go figure.
Yeah, go figure. They get some politicians in their pocket. The politicians require a billion-dollar-a-year industry to use their product. Does this seem a little like payola to you? Just a tad?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to use a term like antitrust when we're talking about porn, but yeah.
And then there's the other angle.
They're a bunch of Trojan whores.
Yes, this was a very Trojan method. And, you know, it was also ribbed. You also have the major side effect that this will have on the industry, which I can't believe anyone in the higher offices of Los Angeles would want this. It will destroy the porn industry. The porn industry makes $1 billion a year. Do you realize how much of that billion is paid in taxes to the city of Los Angeles?
Probably quite a bit.
Right. So think about it like this. If they are forced to use condoms and they don't want to, they're going to pull up, no pun intended, and move out of Los Angeles. They'll move to New York or San Francisco or Dallas or Las Vegas, or they will relocate out of your district and you lose all that tax revenue. I don't see how anybody wins with this. I really don't.
I can't see how anyone's going to win, but I can't imagine the loss being that much, because I think this is where you and I disagree. I don't think it's going to cripple the porn industry, because the porn industry cannot be stopped. It is the highest money-making industry in this country.
Well,
I mean, in terms of overhead versus profit, you can't beat the porn industry. The profit margin is, it's got to be out of control. Because, I mean, what's the budget of an average adult movie versus what's the gross? You know what I'm saying?
But at the same time, in 1998, they tried not a legal policy, but the entire industry tried a condom-only policy for a couple of months. In just 3 months, business dropped 25% to 30%. And those movies where all condoms were required still have not sold the way the non-condom movies have. The audience does not want to see a condom. So that's why I do think it will cripple the industry. I really do.
Yeah, I would like to talk to, like, to an average porn viewer where that's a deal breaker. Because I gotta tell you, if I'm gonna watch like a porno movie and I see a condom, I'm not gonna like, because I can't speak for everybody, but I tend to focus mostly on the female performers if I'm watching one.
I'm talking about the issue as a whole. getting it on like after a date, and they're putting on all this safety gear, and they're putting on gloves and goggles and all this, and the entire crew is wearing hazmat suits, and the health inspector's giving them a thumbs up and things like that. And they do want to point out that they're not mocking safe sex. They're mocking mandatory safe sex. That this is just ridiculous that you have to pay a health inspector to sit there and go, condom on, did that come off? Is it on all the way? Is there going to be any leakage? How do we know it didn't break? That kind of shit. That
right.
This is just government intrusion where there doesn't need to be government intrusion. That's the part that pisses me off so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the only thing that I agree with when it comes to like the Tea Party's platform. I think that there is too much government intrusion just in general in this country. And I think this is a good example of something where government is just not needed.
And then it also comes to the fact that why should the porn industry have to pay for the health inspector? If the city of Los Angeles passes this law, then shouldn't it be the city of Los Angeles's responsibility to provide a health inspector? Not this health inspector is required, but you got to pay for it.
Well, I mean, on a regular non-in-and-out kind of movie, I mean, the production has to pay for stuntmen and safety inspectors, right?
But that's part of doing business. For if you need a stunt, you need a professional to do it. You don't need a professional to just sit there and go, yep, condom was worn.
Yeah, I mean, it probably should be a federal health inspector if it's going to be a government measure.
And then, you know, it comes down to the same thing I brought up before. And then what's going to constitute an adult performer? Are some people on PornTube, if they happen to live in Los Angeles and don't use a condom, are they all of a sudden considered an adult performer? Is it somebody that gets paid? Is it somebody under contract? Is it somebody who has DVDs distributed but doesn't have Netflix? I mean, the way it's written is adult performer. And technically that's not even in the sex industry. Wouldn't any movie that features someone over 18 be an adult performer?
Yeah, probably.
Or am I splitting hairs?
Well, I don't think you're splitting hairs, but imagine this scenario. Some dude tapes him and his girlfriend doing it and puts it on one of the free porn sites out there. 6 months later, he gets a ticket from the city of Los Angeles fining him because he was not wearing a condom. He would be flattered that he is now considered an adult performer. Like, that would go on his resume from that point forward.
But there is one really good side effect of this. A new report just came out. Almost no one in Los Angeles cares about the Measure B proposal.
That's what I was saying. It does not affect the public at large, at all.
Most of the public is saying, yeah, so? And that's the thing I find funny, that they're spending all this money and they're in like the Huffington Post and on the newspapers and on the news, and the public is like, why is this even an issue? Why should we have to pay for this and subsidize it with our tax dollars? This is dumb. Which brings me back to my point of ridiculous government intrusion.
Although if you think about it from a different, like in a different light, that might make some people feel better. Because like if I have to pay taxes, I'm glad some of it is going to what I'm going to call the prevention of porn babies. Well, you know, because like most of my taxes now go to like police and the fire department. I have not been the victim of a crime, I've not committed a crime, and I've not had a fire my whole life. So I'm a little bit resentful that my tax dollars go to that. But, preventing porn babies is a cause that I can get behind, no pun intended.
Man, there's just so many puns.
Plus that's not true. I totally intended that.
What do you hope happens? Most likely this is going to fail. For the sake of argument, let's say Measure B passes, which I really don't think it will. Do you see the sort of doomsayer that the porn industry is just going to uproot and go somewhere else like Nevada? Or do you think they'll try and work around it like they did in 98, watch all their business tank? Or do you think this is even like a calculated effort to try and curtail the porn industry by making their hub uninhabitable?
First of all, I don't think it's going to pass. Like, I don't think anyone is really going to vote on that. Because when you go into vote, you don't have to vote for everything. Like, I can't see public consciousness getting to the level required to get everybody to vote on it. But if it does pass, I don't think that, I don't think porn companies are going to uproot and move somewhere else. I think a couple companies probably will, but I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. I think the condom companies that are sponsoring the bill are going to make out. And I think, you know, like some people will approve of it, some people won't, and it'll just go away.
I see it as offensive in the fact that they would require this. You don't have ridiculous requirements on an R-rated or an action movie set. I mean, you have realistic requirements. If there's a child there, you need someone from social services. That's not an unrealistic requirement. If you're blowing shit up, you need someone from the fire department there. Not an unrealistic requirement. This, to me, is an unrealistic requirement that, pun intended, should not be thrust upon these people.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely Orwellian. And regardless of how passionate I am about the issue itself, I am very much against any Orwellian measure. Same could be said for anti-bullying legislature. Same could be said for a number of things. So I think it's a big example of government interference where it's not needed or wanted.
And see, I think it even goes to, I would be saying the same thing if they were if the state were requiring HIV tests on adult performers, but the state doesn't do that. They do it themselves. So why can't the use of condoms be left up to the performers as well?
And why isn't that measure B?
Yeah, because that I think people would see as Orwellian. I really do. I think, now this all is just supposition on my part. I think they're starting small and working their way up to the larger issues. Because you don't go for the HIV right away. You go for the prevention of HIV, and then if Measure B passes, then you step that up. And then you step that next one up, and so forth. I really do think they're trying this the smart way. I'm offended at the whole condom company thing, just saying, you know, people aren't using our products enough. We want to make it a law, so you have to.
Yeah, that's a monopoly. That's an antitrust violation, and I don't think that should happen.
It offends me. So do you have any final puns to make before we go to Heart Attack?
Do I have any final puns to make about this? No, I think I'm just going to pull out altogether.
Hey, guys, Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another. But today, I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day. My mother smoked 2 packs a day. And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner. So we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks. I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right. It's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Cig. And that's thesafecig.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another Heart Attack here on jackaloperadio.com. And let me tell you guys, I'm pretty pissed about a lot of stuff. And the first thing I'm going to talk about right off the bat is I want to thank Chris J. Miller for including me in his new film. This week I got to play a heavy and a crazy apocalyptic clear post-apocalypse film, and I'm a bad guy beating up a dude that I pull out of a mutant bar. So I wanted to thank Chris for giving me that acting role. It's my first paid acting gig, and I'm pretty excited about it. So I just want to say thank you, Chris.
So you've been beating up mutants all night.
That was Monday. Monday was pretty crazy. On Sunday night, I was out at Kenneth J. Hall's birthday party hanging out with the original mom from The Hills Have Eyes, a wonderful actress that was in Shivers, Rabbit, and she's the hooker in Paul Schrader's People, and hung out with T.C. Quist, one of the werewolves from The Howling. He bought a round of drinks for me and my compatriot, hung out with Cleve and Constance Hall from The Monster Man Show, had a wonderful night, drank my ass off till about 7 a.m., and then, you know, the next night I had to do the movie shoot, and here I am recording this. I just got off the Gary Garber Show. If you guys want to hear some crazy politics, listen to the Gary Garver show, and you can catch that on the GoCast Network. It was live today. We record this show on Wednesday, and the show will air, what, Saturday, Josh?
Saturday night.
So by then, the podcast will be up. But the thing that I'm really fucking riled up about is, straight up, here in Los Angeles, we had the L.A. City Council create a ban on all medical marijuana clinics, even though we the people who rule this country, had made it legal in the state of California amongst 14 other states here in this great, great country of ours, the United States. And in California, it is legal to get marijuana for medical purposes. It has a lot of great uses. And so now there's this war because the city council in LA can't seem to figure out how they want to regulate things. Well, I think it's really about shaking down the shops and taking bribes on the side. We've got three different cities in the Southern California that have been busted by it. And here in Los Angeles in the last 2 weeks, the DEA has come in and shut down every shop in Highland Park, Glendale, and Eagle Rock. This is after this LA moratorium ban was overturned by public will. The public signed enough signatures on a petition to halt their moratorium, to halt their ban. And frankly, sir, I was standing there and watching one of the closed facilities, and I saw a little old lady who couldn't get her fucking shit. She couldn't get her medication, and she limped away from the lot. What the fuck is going on in this country? Pfizer can kill thousands of people with Lipitor or whatever bullshit drug they want to market to the American people, but marijuana, a drug that no one has smoked to death, no one in this country can smoke marijuana to death, yet it's illegal. Kind of fishy. Let's talk politics now, Josh. Josh, you got some evil Mitt Romney story for me?
Unfortunately, I do.
Uh-oh.
Tag Romney, the son of Mitt Romney, has purchased the electronic voting machines that'll be used in the states of Ohio, Texas, Oklahoma, Washington, and Colorado.
Is this Diebold?
No, it is a company called Hart InterCivic.
Uh-oh. So Hart InterCivic has been purchased by Mitt Romney's son, and these are the main electronic voting machines in what swing states?
Ohio, Texas, Oklahoma, Washington, and Colorado.
So what you're telling me is that this election is so important that the Republican Party has engineered a way that all corporations are able to spend as much money as they want in the political process, vastly outspending any single regular human being like you or me or your mother or your father, or virtually any fucking person that you know, and they want it. Here in California, they're trying to pass legislation to make it illegal for unions to be able to speak out. Insecure assholes are so insecure about what they want to do to this country, they're trying to lock up the election with illegal shenanigans. Now, his son has bought, what's the name of this company again?
Hart, H-A-R-T, which, you know, no pun intended. Hart.
Oh, it pisses me off.
Hart InterCivic. Through a closely held equity fund called Solarmere, Mitt Romney, his wife, his son, and his brother are all major investors in an investment firm called Capital HIG. Capital HIG are three of the five board members on Hart InterCivic. Hart InterCivic makes the voting machines that will be used to decide whether one of the fucking board members might become president over the black dude.
Sounds kind of fishy, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, people often call me a conspiracy theorist. When it's this blatant, it's not a theory, is it?
The people that are listening right now, I want you to understand something. In this world that we live in right now, when a group of people get together and they have an agenda and they want to win, I want to win. American Horrors wants to own horror. I have gathered together a group of people that I think are talented, smart, and we share a common goal, and we have a plan. We have a plan to take over. Now, do you think for one fucking minute Mitt Romney, whose stated ambition since he was a child is to be president, doesn't have a plan? Are you kidding me? He's got a plan. There's a plan in place. And these people at this big stage of the game, Mitt Romney is not like the rest of us, guys. He was born rich. He was born rich. This is a gentleman. Now, when I was on the radio show today, I was talking about the fact that Mitt Romney needed a group of guys to help him bully somebody in high school. He needed a group of guys to help him victimize a homosexual so they could cut his hair off. A group of them. That's a bunch of bullies to me. Now, Mitt Romney also has a long history of his company, Bain, as being their bottom feeders. They're a bust-out company. Has anybody seen Casino? Because if you've seen Casino, you might know what I'm talking about by bust-out. But better yet, you should go get Goodfellas. Go watch Goodfellas, and they'll explain to you what a bust-out is. Because with Bain Capital, which is essentially, you know, Romney's company, the way Romney has stayed rich is they buy a failing company. They pump it up full of juice, and they make it look like it's valuable. They buy a bunch of other companies and put it under one name, a bunch of other failing companies, and they pump it up and they make it look like it's valuable. There's another film called Boiler Room that can explain this process. On the stock market, they artificially pump up the value of the failing company. They build up its debt. They borrow as much money as they can under Johnny's name. They take the money from Johnny. They say, fuck you, Johnny. You got the debt. And they leave the debt holder hanging. And what happens? All those people who loan that company money get fucked. Now, what do you think Romney's going to do to America? He's going to leverage out America. Romney and his friends plan for America. It's a bust out. They're here to bust out our nation. They are here to ship your jobs overseas. You think I'm a fool? You think I'm lying? Fucking read. Read, motherfucker. Read, motherfucker!
Hart, you want to hear something that's even going to make you madder?
Oh, God.
A recent audio recording came out. It's not exactly sure when this recording was made, but it's clearly Mitt Romney. A recent audio recording came out where he was asking business owners to apply pressure on their employees to vote Romney come November.
That's nothing new. They've been having this issue with these Republican voters. There was a huge company, I think it was like Microsoft or something, that was pushing really hard like this to make their employees vote Republican. And here's why, guys. I mean, when you say, why would a company do that? Why would a company make their employees vote Republican? Well, maybe that corporation has legislation on the floor that's going to help them in their business get ahead. Because in America, unfortunately, guys, the fact of the matter is we're a country of cheats. We're a country of fucking cheaters. When you look at what's going down, CVS just got busted. Your pharmacy chain, CVS, just got busted for fucking over Medicare, a Medicare scam. They were illegally pumping Medicare under these automatic refills on prescriptions and billing for prescriptions they never filled. Now, did anybody at CVS go to jail? No one at CVS went to jail. They're paying a $17 million fine. How come Billy robs a bank with a gun, and even if he doesn't get away with the fucking money, he's not fined? No one fines Billy for robbing the bank, but when CVS robs the government, they're just going to pay a fine.
That's the way it works in
and
this
why
company
is that,
because
guys?
Of Citizens United.
I'll tell
United.
You why. Because you assholes don't vote. Because
of Citizens United and bullshit like that.
The less we vote, the easier it is to game the system, guys. And we have to vote locally. You got to vote for your local mayor. You got to vote for your local cabinet member, your local Senate, your state legislature. You got to vote for this shit. And if you voted for the wrong guy, get him out of there. Get him the fuck out. Vote him out. This shit isn't permanent. We have the power in America. We, the people. And the vast powers above us conspire against our numbers because we're apathetic, because we'd rather just eat our Dominoes, because we'd rather talk God instead of doing what God tells us to do.
You've also got, Hart, the racism angle that just will not go away. Have you seen the new T-shirts? And I'm sure these are not officially endorsed, but there are people running around with these new T-shirts that say, Romney Ryan 2012, put the white back in the White House.
Oh, my God, that's disgusting.
So, I mean, literally, they're just playing up now the racism angle. We don't like that nigra being our boss. We want this white guy. He might suck, but he's better than a nigra.
Well, you know, there's also a part of the population that we got to deal with, guys. We got to admit there's a lot of losers out there that like to lose. That's the fact of the matter. There are people out there that like to fucking lose. They're losers. Take a look around you. Take a hard fucking look. And don't listen to what they say. Fuck what these assholes say. Look at Romney flip-flopping from debate to debate, changing his position. One month he's this, one month he's that. That's horseshit. Look at their actions. I mean, I am not sitting here going, oh, Obama's the next, Obama's the next savior. I'm deeply disappointed in this motherfucker. I am deeply disappointed in the Obama administration. But my understanding is this. McCain would be far worse. My understanding is this. You guys let Romney in, we're in a lot of trouble. Do you honestly believe that a man who gets his buddies together to cut off a homosexual's hair is going to give a fuck about your civil rights? Now, the gentleman that was on the show with me earlier tonight's like, oh, that's the past. It doesn't mean anything now. But I say it does. I think that you judge a man by their actions. What are their actions? And somebody on the radio show today mentioned about Romney tying his dog to the roof. An action. And I mentioned about his company that busts out other companies and fires people and puts people out of work. That's what they do. They take loans out of companies that can't pay them back. They keep the money. They leave some other poor hooker on the tap. That sounds like the mob to me, man. I'm from Chicago. I know how the fucking mob works.
You know what's really thrown me about this whole election season so far, Hart? I really thought Obama had this locked up, that people were going to see Romney for what he was. And it hasn't happened.
I'm going to stop you right there, Josh. Josh, I'm only going to stop you right there because it's heart attack. And they're fucking with you. The whole notion of, and didn't I say this on an earlier show, Josh? Didn't I say that Obama tanked the first debate?
Yes.
He kind of was going to half-ass the second debate. And I told you guys he would crush on the third debate. What happened, Josh?
Just that. But I don't know. It just disturbs me.
No, but. What happened?
You were correct. And I'm not trying to
say
you weren't
correct.
Exactly
what I said was correct. Number two, a lot of this is all about raising money, okay? They have been hitting us nonstop. Be afraid, Romney's close. Be afraid, Romney's close. Donate money. Oh my God, the boogeyman's coming. You better give us money. It's a hustle. This is all a motherfucking hustle, guys. And that's what it's about. It's a fucking hustle. This race isn't close. The American people do have a choice, and they have chosen to stick with Obama, and we're being lied to and manipulated. If the American people really wanted Romney, would we need the Koch brothers to spend all their money on all these campaigns? If the American people really, really wanted Romney, wouldn't they be talking about the groundswell? Wouldn't be Fox showing all the crowds cheering for that asshole? But they're not. This is a con, guys. It's a con game. They're trying to con you. And if you don't go vote, if you sit on your ass at home, it's easier for them to pull the hoodwink. This has been a fundraising game. If this race was so close, they wouldn't have passed all those voter laws to disenfranchise Americans from being able to vote. I'm going to come back to this again and again and again, because I'm from Chicago, okay, motherfuckers? In Chicago, the dead voted. But there's no law in Illinois blocking people from voting, because that's what it does. It blocks more real living Americans from voting than the voter fraud they're trying to protect. It's bullshit. Yeah, I know. I've been ranting and raving. I'm already warmed up, man. I'm so fucking angry. I'm so fucking gung-ho. These cocksuckers are trying to ramrod us. These assholes shutting down all these fucking clinics. But you know what, folks? They cannot control the will of the people. We need to go out. We need to express our will. You express it with your dollar. You express it with your vote. But most of all, you express it with your dollar. Now, right now in America, cable systems are dropping subscribers at a huge rate. For the last 3 years, cable is dropping subscribers like you can't believe. But at American Horrors, we're gaining subscribers. The best uncut horror channel in the world is growing and getting stronger every bloody fucking day. And you can get it. You can subscribe at American Horrors for just $1.95 for a month. A fucking 2 liter of goddamn Pepsi at www.filmon.com.
Thank you.
So, Charlie, the other topic we're going to be talking about tonight is a little less sexy than our first topic, but still kind of infuriating.
For you, maybe.
All right. The article I sent you is all about how Les Moonves, chief executive at CBS, is behind an effort to basically get rid of cable. He sees the future being on demand, that all TV shows, there'll be nothing, nothing will air, there'll be no channels. Everyone will just, in this next 20 years, have an on-demand box, and you just pay as you go. If you just want to watch 1 hour of programming a month, that's the only thing you'll pay for. Is this good or bad?
I think it's going to be good for a few people and bad for the rest of us. Because, first of all, when I read that this was all Les Moonves' idea, well, it's not really his idea, but it's something that he's passionate about. Instinctually, I disagree with anything he's passionate about because he, like, regardless of his politics. Exactly. Regardless of his policies or his politics, he is a douche. But apart from him being a douche, I don't like when somebody takes something that is already doing fine and then fucks with it. I'm someone who has been playing Xbox 360 for years. I have not once signed up for Xbox Live because I don't need it. I have not hooked it up to the internet so I could stream Netflix into it. I'm of the rare minority of Americans where, you know, things are good enough for. And I don't like it when things get fucked with. Say, to this day, I have never owned a touchscreen phone because fuck them. They're not necessary.
You're starting to sound like me, you know that? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
As long as I keep it in check, I think it could be a good thing.
All right, just don't let it go too far.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it could be good or bad, but ultimately it's unneeded.
Because the way they're trying to sell it is, and I'm quoting, in an on-demand world, you get the TV you love, only the TV you love, without those hundreds of pointless channels you don't, and you save all this money in the process. That is absolute bullshit. And thankfully, the article that we're reading this from in The Atlantic actually does play devil's advocate and tells you why that's not a good thing while it's trying to sell you this whole idea that this is a good thing.
Well, anytime I want to find out about an American issue, the first thing I don't read is an American paper.
All right, I can't really fight you on that. I wish I could, but I can't. But so the example that they give is, let's say, for example, you want to watch just ESPN and otherwise be left alone. Right now, you pay $80 to a cable company every month, which passes along $5 to ESPN. So ESPN alone would cost $5 a month, right? Not so bad. But no, ESPN isn't getting $5 from every household that wants to watch it. It's also getting $5 each from the millions of TV-watching households that don't watch the ESPN package. So you might have to pay $10 a month or more just to get a single channel. And let's face it, who just watches a single channel nowadays? What it comes down to is you'll actually be paying more in the long run to just get the shows you want than to filter out all the clutter that you don't. Does that make sense?
It does. That does make sense. But look at it from this point of view. This is premium cable on a much bigger scale. Because I have HBO for the series, I have Cinemax for the movies, I have Showtime for the comedy, so I can tell Stars, the movie channel, and Encore to go fuck off. That's what they're proposing, is doing that for every channel.
And I'm kind of looking at it as, like, the only reason I have Showtime is so I can watch Dexter. Sure. So would it be advantageous of me to just pay to get Dexter and not care about the rest of the crap that's on Showtime? And I'm thinking probably not, because first of all, when something's airing, you and I come from a different mindset when it comes to such as old movies and things. There might be a movie you've got, you own it on DVD, you own it on VHS, you haven't watched it in 20 years, and you've got no desire to pull that tape out and go, you know what, I need to watch Looker. But but if Looker all of a sudden shows up on HBO, you'll go, I haven't seen this in years, I'm going to watch this. Or am I the only one that does that?
No, I mean, I do that too, but I can live without it because I have, I have Salt Lake City Punk on VHS. I watch it periodically when I want to. Seeing it pop up on a premium channel neither benefits nor hinders me.
See, I have one weakness when it comes to that.
dun 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 Flash. I can't resist Flash Gordon. If it's on TV, I have to stop what I'm doing and watch it. I can't not watch Flash Gordon. I actually think there is some kind of like a whack-it signal that's gotten me addicted to that. I can't not watch Flash Gordon on TV.
If it's on Encore, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to watch it with commercials.
I'll even watch Flash Gordon with commercials. That's how Flash Gordon I am about Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon.
And rightfully so. Flash Gordon is a masterpiece of modern cinema. I'm not going to debate that.
What it comes down with me is, it's like what you pointed out. Why fuck with something that's, I mean, it's overall working. Yes, there are always going to be people that go, man, I only watch Big Bang Theory. Why do I want all the other crap? And for those select people, it would be cheaper to just live in an on-demand TV universe. On the other hand, the majority of us, the way we watch TV is structured around the way TV is. And it's another thing to me, and this is just pure nostalgia, I would hate to see TV as we know it vanish. It's been around since the 40s. To have the internet kind of kill that and an on-demand universe take over, doesn't that just kind of make you a little bit sad?
Well, it makes me very sad, because one thing that I just thought of, because I only watch a few channels. I watch Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, HBO, and Sci-Fi Channel occasionally, and that's probably about it. But, I mean, it's shutting people off to stuff that they could find by happenstance. If the system they're proposing has always been there, I might never see It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Now it's one of my favorite shows.
Well, and then you also have the issue of, and I can't believe I'm on their side on this, but TV is an advertiser-supported medium, right? So what will happen to the advertising? The whole point of the advertising is you have this time slot, 7 p.m. on a Wednesday, that's a hit show. We want to advertise in that 7 p.m. on a Wednesday time slot. What happens if there is no time slots and you can watch it whenever you want? And with this, you would also have to be able to fast forward through the commercials if there was even a forced commercial. Or would you literally pay $2 for every episode you wanted to watch? How would advertising work in this? And I can't believe I'm on the side of advertising in this one, but I need to play devil's advocate a little bit, because that's pretty much what makes the TV industry go round nowadays.
I can't disagree with that.
You know, because to me, I just see this is not a double-edged sword. This is a stab in the back that you don't see coming. I think once you go to an all-on-demand TV universe, there's going to be people that regret it like crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the cable companies, while they do, in most cases, provide their own on-demand, can you imagine the infrastructure changes that will need to be done to have a 24-hour-a-day, millions of customers on-demand? And then just think of the number of TV shows that are on. Let's just throw out a number. There are 200 channels that regularly show TV shows, okay?
Okay.
24-hour-a-day programming. Say, for the sake of argument, it's only one-hour programs. So all those 200 channels have 24 programs that they play in a single day. Can you imagine having to stock an on-demand digital library with all that stuff just in case someone wants to watch Here Comes Honey Boo Boo at 3 in the morning?
Yeah, it's going to be weird. I mean, the whole current system would have to be uprooted and changed, and that is just not necessary.
It's like you didn't think your cunning plan all the way through, did you? I don't think you people have thought about how much would need to change, how much technologically would need to change. You'd need to almost install totally new equipment. For the consumer, you'd have to install totally new equipment, because think about it, your little on-demand box or even your TiVo can only hold so much. You're constantly going to be cycling through stuff that you don't store nowadays. That's the network's responsibility.
And that's another thing. TiVo would go completely out of business. If everything was on demand, there would be no need for TiVo. That would be completely obsolete.
It would put so many different services out of business. It would put tuner services. It would put over the air, which is technically not the right term. Look at it this way. Who is going to choose an infomercial? I can't believe we're defending this, but infomercials will go out of business. No one's going to on-demand choose an infomercial.
But that's what it comes down to. This is just a nightmare, and I think it's part of a larger problem of the issues in our society of, I want it now. Everyone wants on demand. I want it now. I want Netflix now. I don't want to have to rent a movie and then have them ship it to me and then watch it and then ship it back. I just want to click a button and the movie's there.
Yeah, it's true. It's a very slippery slope, too, because the next stop after that is President Mountain Dew Camacho.
Mountain Dew Camacho was awesome.
I'm not saying his administration would not be perfect. I'm just saying that in a world of instant gratification, standards are going to slip. And at a certain point, someone's going to say, well, if I can have a good movie tomorrow or a shitty movie today, I'm picking the shitty movie today.
But this also brings us back to, do you remember in the, it was still when Sci-Fi Channel was a real channel, those Tom Selleck narrated commercials about, I think it was AT&T. Remember those, in the future, you'll have this, you'll have like, you gotta remember, this is in the infancy of the internet. In the future, you'll have an on-demand library of hundreds and hundreds of movies to watch at your fingertips. In the future, you'll have this and blah. This is even before Avery Brooks started doing those ones in the late 90s. You remember the Tom Selleck narrated ones?
Have you ever watched the movie you wanted to? The minute you wanted to. Learn special things.
That's all taken from jazz.
Now any questions? From faraway places.
Oakland?
So where did jazz come from?
Good question.
Or tucked your baby in. From a phone book. You will. And the company that'll bring it to you, AT&T.
Yes, I believe I do remember that. That was right around the same time as George Carlin and Carrot Top doing commercials for 1-800-CALL-ATT.
No, 1010-220.
1010-220, right.
George Carlin was 1010-220, and I forgive the man that because the IRS said, you owe us money or we're putting you in jail, and he's like, that commercial still offering money? I don't begrudge the man selling out on that account because
if it helped him continue to tour all year, then I'm all for it.
Do you think we're up to that point that Tom Selleck and Avery Brooks were all enthusiastic about? And I don't want to say anything bad about Avery Brooks because he's the baddest motherfucker on the planet, but he was a shill for the digital shit I hate.
It is the year 2000. But where are the flying cars? I was promised flying cars. I don't see any flying cars. Why? 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 Because billions of people all over the world can work together on the web 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't need flying cars, but you will need a different kind of software.
It's a different kind of world. You need a different kind of software.
Long ago, information was measured only in kilobytes. Then came megabytes and gigabytes, then terabytes, petabytes, and exabytes. Today, with all this information flying back and forth on the web, we will soon arrive at yottabytes. How big is that? 10 to the 24th power, 1,000 billion trillion bytes. How many libraries of Congress per second can your software handle? It's a different kind of world. You need a different kind of software.
I don't know. I mean, I could deal with some more flying cars, but I think we are pretty much there.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I mean, progress in any way is usually a good thing, but I mean, I don't think it's cut and dry like that.
But is progress a good thing if it's at the expense of something, as you put it before, that wasn't broken in the first place?
Absolutely not. I think that is misguided energy.
What it comes down to is look at like the Amazon Kindle thing. Most people are, oh my God, I got 900 books on this little Kindle. You guys do realize that Amazon can just wipe that clean at any moment, right? At right. Touch of a button, at the discretion of any Amazon employee, they can just wipe that out and everything you've bought. And what's even worse is they can blackball you. You get blackballed for that. You cannot sign that Kindle up for another account. That Kindle becomes a brick at the whim of a snotty employee. Do we really want to live in that age?
As a snotty employee, I say no.
Yes, you are a snotty employee.
If I was in that kind of a position of power, I would be deleting shit all day.
Oh, you mean by accident?
Yes. Oh, I slipped.
But that's what it comes down to. I really do think it comes down to laziness. I think people are lazy when it comes to their entertainment, when it comes to their books, their magazines. Just like, I was a little heartbroken. I have a subscription to Newsweek. You heard that Newsweek just announced that they're ceasing print edition at the end of the year. And there'll be a digital-only magazine. Yeah. Does that not break your heart just a little bit?
It does. And, like, I think an argument could be made that that's, the first covert stage of class warfare. I mean, take someone who watches TV but does not have internet. That shuts them off of TV. It's really not fair.
I'm in the total Luddite position, and we talked about this in our magazine Radiodrome. A magazine's not a magazine if I can't hold it, if it's not printed on paper. A digital magazine is a website.
Yeah,
not a magazine, you're a website. I'm sick of seeing these websites that every month call themselves issue number 4. You're a fucking website. You're not a magazine. Stop pretending you're a magazine.
Yeah, it's completely pointless to say issue number 4 because it wasn't fucking issued. It was uploaded.
Right. So to me, I just think we've grown too lazy, and there are people like Alex Jowski that are just too, there are so many times I've offered to send him DVDs or something, and he's like, I'll just download it.
Yeah, Jowski in particular, I think he represents a section of society that are just taking convenience for granted. And I think people need to, you know, like, I don't have a Kindle because it's not necessary. I'm not going to buy a Kindle until the last printed book is made.
Even then I wouldn't. I'd just read old stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've got a ton of books, and they're not going to expire because they're on a shelf.
You're, I think, old enough, Charlie, that you remember The Search for a Movie. And I know, I know I'm sort of like the old man shaking a stick at the clouds right now, but didn't a movie mean more to you when you had to go to 9 different video stores to find that one that carried the movie you were looking for, or to scan the TV guide for 5 months straight to find the late night channel that was airing the Godzilla movie you wanted to see? Doesn't it kind of, takes a little enjoyment out of it when there's no hunt anymore? Or am I just really psychotic in that regard?
No, I agree with that 100%. That reason, and that reason alone, is why Death Row Game Show remains one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. Death Row Game Show. I saw it when I was a kid. I think I was probably like 9, 10 years old. I saw it once on Cinemax. I remember it being awesome. And I searched years for it. On its face, not a great movie.
Not at all. And I have it on DVD.
Yeah. I mean, it's a corny premise, very corny execution, not realistic at all.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Nice. But because I put so much effort into finding it just because I wanted to see it again, I love that movie.
And see, like Brian Lewis told the story on Radiodrome about Phantasm 2, where he couldn't find it anywhere in the VHS era, and he was looking for it for years and finally paid like $80 to have one shipped to him, you know, because remember, this is in the era where things were not commercially available, but you could still buy them from the video store for an exorbitant price.
So much.
And then he said, now Phantasm 2 is one of 4 movies on a Walmart $5 DVD, and he's like, and now they're just giving the fucking thing away.
Yeah, I could see how that could stick in some people's craws.
And that's what it comes down to. You need that thrill of the hunt. I remember when Mortal Kombat first came out on Sega Genesis. My wife must have taken me to every video store, grocery store, any place that rented games. We searched all night to find a fucking copy of Mortal Kombat. Do you know how sweet playing Mortal Kombat was that entire night that I had rented that? That it wouldn't have been the same if I had just, I pre-ordered and I downloaded it to my Xbox.
Yeah, you can't buy that kind of feeling.
The hunt makes the eventual capture more intriguing, I think.
Absolutely.
So on that note, even though you're a bum begging for soup, where can people find Begging for Soup Bum?
Well, you can find me at the grave of Andy Warhol, trying to channel some of his soup-finding magic. But if not there, you can find me on Facebook, Charlie McMullen, Charlie being spelled Charley. And you can find some of my shit on geekjuicemedia.com.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. 1201beyond@gmail.com to contact me. My weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at that same Geek Juice Media, and my monthly column, if you're in the Green Bay area, The Shadows of Pop Culture in Scene Magazine. So, do you want to go out on a pun?
We could go out on a pun. It has to be organic, man. When I'm under pressure, I can't do it.
Motherfuckers out there, it's time to win a chance to pot bang your daughter's tight virgin cherry ass. Your caller number 666.
We got girls who eat your pee and poo, and guys who'd love to fuck your shoe. There's
you got mama for so much glee.
Since the skin lights from your crotch, yeah!